Final hour overdrive continues, brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. We got our buddy Jack Armstrong later in the hour. I wonder what Jack would do with Monty Williams type money.
Whew.
6 years, $78 million for a head coach. What a score that is. He's a great coach. Like, really, really good coach. That's a Detroit tax. But I credit the owner down there because they got to start turning things around. Pistons
Dude,
have been a mess for like 15 years.
No kidding. And we love your boy, Case.
Yes.
But that was kind of unforgettable, those 4 to 5 years. You know
Terrible.
What I mean?
The worst team in the league. And they paid him a lot of money, too, right?
Yeah,
they paid him a lot of money, and it didn't work out. And he's still there, and he's, you know, he's up in management now. But, man, that's I think it's a sign of just the finances in the NBA and in pro sports. And players are going to be making $50 million, $60 million. Coaches are probably like, all right, throw something at me. You know, I can't make a million, be talking to a guy who's making 60.
And
you know?
I think athletes on every league, it's like when they've got more control and more power of what's desirable to them, and it's not a shot against the city of Detroit, but when Los Angeles and New York, Chicago, and those big markets are an option, it's like they can pick. And like I said, it's not a shot, but what would you rather pick, L.A. or Detroit?
Yeah,
it is a
it's
shot.
It's a shot, man. It's a Bruce Cassidy.
But it's a realistic shot saying you got to pay the Detroit tax. I say this all the time.
Yeah. But then Winnipeg, people come back, Edmonton, Noodles, and say, why was the Detroit hockey team so good in the 90s?
Because they paid more than anybody else. They had the highest payroll every year.
And you know, they put together a program where people are like, okay, want a piece of that. Take a look at that. You've got, you know, Lidstrom, and you go right through. And Hall of Famers wanted to go there. There were Hall of Famers that were – you know, drafted and developed there as well. I mean, the program is a big part of it. Sometimes, yes, the city factors in, but if you've got a winning program, people want a chunk of it. And, you know, Detroit right now, some of their sports haven't been winning recently, and then you've got a grittier city that is, like I say, I grew up in Edmonton. I know it's not for everybody. It's grittier. And Winnipeg, same situation. You have to pay, we'll call it cold weather tax, or a situation where it's a little bit, you know,
and gritty,
maybe less desirable to live. You got to pay.
You get a gritty tax and a bad weather tax. Like, that's
enough.
A lot. You better have a great organization.
Right.
You know, you better have Isaiah Thomas. You better have Joe Dumars. You better have that. Right. You better have Yzerman and Lidstrom. You know.
Right.
You better have Cabrera and Verlander and Scherzer. You know. If you don't, then you know it's you're not New York, Miami, Chicago, L.A. Right, like Toronto has to deal with that in some capacities too.
Sure,
with the NBA
do.
And the baseball
Not
team.
A lot of the American kids grew up wanting to be a Toronto Raptor, dying for that.
No,
right,
exactly. And so, yeah, there's certain elements to your program that you got to build up, and you got to make it desirable. And you know, Detroit. I'm actually going to Detroit next week. I'll give you the full breakdown. You know, the city. My understanding is it's coming around. Right,
it is.
I'm hearing good things about Detroit. And I'm going to be
What are you
there.
Talking about? We're doing the golf next week.
Yeah, I'm talking next weekend. I'm going for about 24 hours.
I love it. I know the story.
What I'm doing? Yeah, you've been privy to this, Noodles. We told you the other day.
Well, if you want to share it, I think you should share it. I mean, this would be a very cool trip.
Going to see Taylor Swift in Detroit. Going to see Taylor Swift
he
in
is.
Detroit. So, yeah, that's what's coming. Not next week. We're going to Detroit.
I like
to see Swifty.
Hayes is a Swifty.
My wife.
Just you and her.
I got her tickets for her birthday, and yeah, she's a huge Taylor. This is the weird thing because I've been talking.
Nothing.
To people.
You wigged me out a little bit, and I was. I love her too, and I would have appreciated an invite.
Well, here's the thing. I like some of her stuff. I don't know all of her stuff.
I know, dude, but you could have done this. I'm going to get, guys, Noodles, O-Dog, I'm going to get my wife tickets for Taylor Swift. I'm going to get an additional 4-pack. Why don't we all go down
Should
and
Should we all have tagged along? I guess that could have been a possible option.
Too late now.
I guess in retrospect,
too late
right.
now, it's but you could have made, I would have been front
I
row,
think it's
and
be a
I would
show.
Have made Aaron Rodgers look like a pigeon because I like it so much.
You'd be moving and shaking. You'd be shaking it off with Taylor Swift. Is that what you're telling me? Apparently, it's a remarkable show. a remarkable show. Like I read this morning, there are people, like adults, wearing diapers to the show because they don't want
to miss
a song.
They're not going to the bathroom.
Yeah, like she's up there for 3 hours plus, knock it out like 45 songs in a row, and there are grown adults strapping on diapers saying, not missing that, not going to miss it.
I've
she
only
sings
seen
this
that
song,
movie
Blank
at a
Spaces,
casino.
I'm gonna. Oh, the casino stuff happens all the time. You get a guy in a heater, he ain't moving.
No.
Like he'll tip a guy $100, go buy me some diapers. I can't get up off the table.
Here's $500, like a 12-pack of man diapers, and I'll tip you later if I win more.
Right. You're in on the action now. You're my
That's
intern.
The thing. You're getting some drinks flowing through you. You are in one.
Big
you
time.
You know, like.
So, yeah, I'm going to be a Swiftie in Detroit. So it's out there. Full breakdown on the show. You're going to hear all about it. And,
oh, I want vids. I want everything. I want Aaron Rodgers vids.
Yeah, I can. It's a real mix, though, man. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to who are like, yeah, my daughters are going, my teenage, and then we're going to be there, 40-year-old, you know, losers, basically, just trying to keep up. But, it's a real mixture of crowds at the Taylor Swift concert.
That's why I was like, we're not coming. This is her birthday trip. It's you and her. It's not
right.
Couples trip and, hey, go, like, it's you and her getting away, and you got young kids, so it's nice to escape, probably get a chance to sleep in.
That's the
know,
plan.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that is the plan. Beautiful Detroit. We're staying at a casino, though, so I'm going to hit the felt.
Oh,
that was a part of it too. If we're going to hit, if we're going to hit Swifty, we're also going to be hitting the felt. Relative, maybe I'll put the Swift tickets on the line. That'll go over well. Throw these two on black. See what happens. Oh, we're not going to the show tonight. It's all right. All right, Jack Armstrong later this hour. All right, here we go. I guess he's out there in Kamloops, right?
Yeah, Memorial Cup.
Yeah, Seattle's just cruising, man. Right, Seattle's a good place. We got a tiebreak game coming up, and the Cup Final finally going to get cooking here soon. Before you know it, they'll actually be playing NHL hockey again. Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
Hey, guys, just standing outside the Sandman Center here, home of the Kamloops Blazers, staring at Gord Bamford. You know who he is? Canadian music sensation, yeah.
I know Gord very well.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good guy.
I'm looking at his setup right now. I just met Gord. He was with Mark Recchi. I'm walking in here. We had a quick chat. But he's got, like, his bus. You know, like a Motley Crue type of bus. And it's got Gord Bamford stapled all across it, his picture, the whole mural set up. And if that's not, if the big rock star bus isn't big enough, he's probably got a 24-foot pole behind the bus on top of that. So this guy's kind of a big deal. That's what I'm doing.
There you go. Big shooters out there, man. The Memorial Cup.
Big shooters.
Big time shooters. Big time shooters. I wanted to ask you, Dregs, because we brought this up last hour. We had Trey Living on, you know, and the idea that the draft floor, he's likely not allowed to be a part of it, although he kind of indicated that he was hoping Shanahan and the league could possibly get to the bottom of that. Maybe things will change between now and the draft. But what about Dubas and Pitt? Is he just allowed free reign, or is he not allowed to be a part of it either?
Well, I, without knowing that specifically, I'm going to make the assumption that it's got to be the same sort of limitations or parameters, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, the reason that Treliving is stuck in the situation he is because that was part of the criteria for Calgary to grant him permission to speak to the Toronto Maple Leafs. You remember initially Calgary was not willing to do that, to allow him to speak to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and then ultimately they relented. So, assumption on my part, but I believe that's the case with Kyle Dubas and the Pittsburgh Penguins. But, you know, I feel like there's got to be some sort of compromise here. You know, you're not giving up industry secrets. Like,
no.
Jared, you were on the floor for a lot of drafts, and I believe you still are. Explain to me one situation where you'd be like, wow, he just stole some intel from his old team, and he snuck that player in. Like, it's just stupid.
Well, it doesn't happen here. It's also, in my opinion, insulting to the great people that do the do in scouting, right? I mean, the general manager doesn't come in there normally, pound his fist on the table and says, we're damn well taking this player because they defer to their scouting people, and sure, at the end of the day, they're the final ones that make the call, but Sampa, how do you get on the floor when you're having restrictions that may or may not have what?
All right, we got to throw Dregs on hold. Throw him on hold, see if we can get him. You know, there's a lot of mountains, Kamloops.
Teetering. Yeah, you're BC. Right in the mountains, and he's outside. It may be Gord Bamford's Wi-Fi from the bus jamming him up as well.
Right.
I don't know, you guys don't know Gord, but he's big out west. Big, big. Yeah. He's like Brett Kissel. You know Brett Kissel?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Gord Bamford is the same type of thing. Big
all
name
right.
out west. I wanted to ask Dregs, too, because Seattle, you mentioned, I've heard from I don't know how many people that this Seattle junior team is literally could beat an AHL team. I'm watching this Gunther kid. He's on like the second, third line. Like they've got
wild,
that much
man.
Depth.
I was watching
last a
bit
night.
Last night. They were cruising.
Destroyed Kamloops last night.
Yeah.
Destroyed them.
It feels like if they're going to lose, it'll be a shock in the final, right? Like somehow
Kamloops is out.
Well, no, I think Seattle is just going to march. My
it
point. I think they're
way.
An AHL team. They're that good.
Right.
So
looks that way. We got you back, Dregs. But common sense, right? Come on, common sense in the NHL.
Well, as I was trying to explain, and then we're surrounded by satellite trucks here. Maybe that's part of the problem. But you know, how do you not have your general manager on the floor when you're talking about trades that probably have very little to do with what's actually happening at the draft? At the end of the day, it's a bit bizarre, if not borderline ridiculous. So perhaps Shanahan and company can get it resolved, and that'll apply to the Penguins and Kyle Dubas as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, you know, Dregs, we had Brad Tree Living on just before you came on in the last hour. You know, we talked about kind of he had three or four things at the top of his list. Auston Matthews getting in there to visit him, you know, was pretty much, he said, 1 or 1A, as well as the Sheldon Keefe situation. Do you sense that a guy like Tree will, you know, get in and visit Matthews? And he also mentioned he's got a good relationship with Matthews' agent. Is all about just getting with the player, getting with the agent, and trying to get down to the nitty-gritty of having an extension in place for July 1st?
Yeah, for sure. And I don't doubt for a second that Judd Moldaver, the agent for Auston Matthews, and Brad Treliving have had a number of conversations to this point. Now, they wouldn't be specific to any type of negotiation. There'd be some feeling out there. And I know from conversations I've had with Judd, peer agents, Darren Ferris, who represents Mitch.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Throw him on hold again. Grab. I don't know if it's going to work. It sucks because he's just going to give us a great answer.
Well, he's too, getting it, literally getting into
his
like, Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner's
agent. He's just
about
to sign a deal. He's going to give a discount. It's like, whoa, what? 8 years, $5 million. It's like, whoa.
Exactly.
We got some scoops here.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's too bad because it's.
What are you going to do?
He is giving
us. Just leave
gold.
Him alone. He's out there. He's out west. I think he just flew in.
It's might be on the bus.
Yeah,
might
what
be
are you
going to
do?
Bamford's
there's nothing we
bus.
Can do.
Sucks because it is, and that's the thing though. It is developing the relationship, and you know Brad Treliving's been a manager, so he has a relationship with Matthews' agent already. I'm sure they know each other and other players, and that whole company. Same thing with Mitch Marner's agent. So you know when you change companies or change organizations, your relationships with agents don't change. It's just, hey, I'm over here now instead of over there, right?
Long-standing.
Right.
Exactly. Dregs, in between, you're breaking up. Were you saying Matthews 8 years, about $5 million? Is that what you're saying? That's what we thought we interpreted.
Hey, by the way, I'm running out of quarters here. I can't keep jamming the quarters into the paper.
Okay,
so if it doesn't
good.
Work, it doesn't work. I heard you guys finish my thought, and you're bang on. I mean, the relationships with these agents and Tree would be longstanding and very, very positive. Not to pump his tires, but he's noted as being a very hardworking, active general manager. He's in on all trade scenarios and conversations. Doesn't mean he pulls the trigger every single time, but those are the relationships that he's built, and that could matter here as he goes into some of the heavy lifting. You know, getting Matthews signed to an extension, 100% is a priority. And without speaking directly to Treliving about this, let me just throw it at you guys. Does it really matter if Auston Matthews gets another five-year deal or not? I don't think it does. Why does it matter? You know, this guy is trying to hit the mega grand slam financially. He's going to do that one way or another. if you're Brendan Shannon and Brad Trilling and Austin Matthews or Judd Mulder comes to you and says, "We want 5 years, we'll take that 5-year term again, but we're willing to give back a little bit on the AAV. So, you know, we'll work at 13.5. How does that work for you guys?" I mean, I would think it'd be in the best interest of the Maple Leafs to do that. Not saying that they will, but just buy yourself a little bit of time and see how things go this season. And maybe at the end of this season, you've got to make a different decision with that core four.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, that obviously we'll find out likely in the next month and a bit where things are going to go here now that we're into June. With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. What did you make of the announcement, Kyle Dubas, president of hockey operations, like 20 minutes before Trey Living was stepping up to the podium?
Yeah, it smelled a little bit of trolling. You know, I don't think it was, and really, does it matter in the grand scheme of things? No, it matters to maybe, you know, Toronto media, because we do like to chew on stuff like this. But what's bizarre is the dance that Dubas and the Pittsburgh Penguins have done for several days to get to this point. You know, why did it take so this stage? And, you know, then I've got a series of...
No.
All right. Dreg, just grapples. Just say thank you. Yeah. Thank you. We love Dregs. That's three quarters.
He's done with the quarters.
It's not his fault.
Too bad. But you're right.
Bad reception.
He was getting into another greasy answer, too, where it's like, yeah, tell me. And then it's
because he's saying, why did it take so long if he'd been immediately linked to them?
Right.
Like we'd heard, Brad Treliving was immediately linked to Toronto when, you know, Kyle Dubas was let go or not renewed. You know, so it's, you have to do your due diligence, but obviously sounds like Pittsburgh was down the road with a few candidates and had to shift their thought process when Kyle Dubas...
when he became available, right?
Was available.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that. But here's the other thing in reading. I didn't watch Kyle's press conference, but I read the transcript. He's saying, "I'm going to be the manager interim until I find one later this summer and get my feet wet with the organization." Like, here's a guy, like, he still needs a manager there unless he wants to be the president and GM.
But that's what's intriguing, right? Like, a big part of the issue here was, well, allegedly, you know, Shanahan had final call. You know, Dubas couldn't do what he wanted. Well, he was annoyed by that.
But Berkey said that is kind of protocol where presidents got to stamp it.
So. Absolutely. But now, is Kyle going to use the experience he just had and allow the GM carte blanche? Probably not. Right?
Right.
Probably not.
No. Absolutely not.
Exactly. Which is, I mean, I wouldn't say there's an element of hypocrisy, but you just complain, well, I'm the GM. Now you're the guy. You're not going to let the GM do everything. Like, Kyle's going to make the final call on everything. He's basically the new Shanahan. And that's what he wants. Like, that's what sticks out here, is he didn't want Shanahan as a buffer anymore. Like, that's kind of what it felt like. Like, I want to make every decision I want to make. And Shanahan, I'm sure, along with the financial stuff, said no. And I don't – why wouldn't Shanahan say no? Like,
exactly.
What, Shanahan's just going to say, okay, fine, I retire so you can run the show? Shanahan's not going to do that, and he didn't.
No, but he gets an opportunity. You know, in essence, it's a lateral move, but it's a move up for him.
Right.
And because he's the president of the team now, so he's going to oversee everything and build a program. But, you know, he was talking about, well, you know, I wouldn't bet against Crosby and Malkin and Letang and stuff, but, you know, he knows the clock is ticking.
They just missed the playoffs, and those guys played every single game.
And he's got Granlund there for 2 more years at $5 million. He's got Jeff Carter there. Who's on, you know, is
can't
a guy
skate
who's
anymore.
Near the end of his career. Like, he's got some big moves to make, you know, as Brad Treliving, but again.
Sure. You know, well, Pittsburgh, Tristan Jarry, right? He was asked about Jarry.
Yeah.
Jarry's a UFA. If you're not going to bring him back, then you got to figure it out.
Yeah,
you know, that's a big position. Maybe he wants Matt Murray to make a return to Pitt.
Maybe he wants Samsonov. Never
Wouldn't
know.
That be fascinating, though, if Treliving calls him up, goes, "Murray's your guy. We'll give him to you for future considerations." No, thanks. Oh, really? Now you're not a fan.
Yeah, he wants a sweetener.
Yeah, imagine that. Sweet, you got to tag on a first rounder if I'm going to take that contract. What do you think, I'm nuts? Who would possibly take that deal? Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be hilarious. It's like,
I think you'd get a hang up, to be honest with you.
You'd have, out of principle, you'd have to, right? Hey, Matt Murray, just, you can have him, future, no, first rounder. You got, there's got to be a sweetener for that.
Plus.
Would be hilarious. Yeah. That would be, well, you got to eat some of that salary. It's way too hot. You know, like stuff like that.
You think
that would
be so funny. Taking that on. No chance. What kind of a moron brought that into play?
Yeah, that'd be really funny.
Not doing that. Yeah, that would be good. All right, Jack Armstrong coming up. Game one of the NBA Finals. Denver, big favorite on FanDuel. I think it's 8.5. I'm leaning Miami on the points tonight. Like, I think Denver probably wins, but Miami, I think you got to make a statement on the road tonight, and we'll see. They're coming off a great win, Game 7 in Boston a few nights ago. Jack will join us on that. Nick Nurse being introduced down in Philly. Monty Williams making a fortune, the most money any coach has made in NBA history. What does Jack make of that? And what are the Raptors waiting for? What's going on here? Right? They still need a coach. They're not the only team, but they need one. That and more coming up with Jack. Our best bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Yeah, I'm going to need a lot of this next week. It's a long drive. A lot of T-Swift on the way down to Detroit. I'm going to try to catch up with Dan Campbell while I'm down there. Lions fans love me. So I'm going to really try to – and it's at Ford Field. I'll be right in there, Ford Field. Pictures of Jerry Goff and, you know, that 0-16 season back in 08. I'm sure there's a lot of team pictures of that group.
Yeah, can you say 0-16 division winners this year?
No, I refuse to accept that, and I refuse to believe it.
I'll
believe it when I see it with Detroit.
Here's what I'm going to do with Detroit, and maybe we'll go down to a game. That's what we should do, go down to a game. They're going to be my sister team this year. I'm with Joey Burrow and Cincy, but just because you hate the Lions, they're my sister team.
Okay, go ahead. I mean, the timing, I think, is quite curious, considering now the Packers might be on the way down and Lions possibly on the way up. They did have a great end of the season, no question.
But I don't understand. When did Joey Burrow and Cincy become your team?
Like, as Brady left Tampa. That's acceptable. He's done.
So you just slide over to
the next that's great quarterback.
Yeah, no, Mahomes, where's Josh Allen? Where's your Buffalo Bills?
I don't know. For whatever reason, Carlo, Billy Dodson, there's enough Bills friends around that building.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Carlo, it's a tough look sometimes. Was that during COVID where he was in the back? Or no, was that with the Raptors or was it?
Yeah, that was the Raptors bubble. But I think he did a Bills thing too.
I think he did a Bills thing with a helmet on or something.
Dude,
I think
if you ever want to see something funny, all you got to do is this. If the Bills lose a brutal game, like in overtime, or they do something stupid, pick six to lose, FaceTime Carlo. I've done it. He's all in his garage with his Geppetto buddies, and they're crying. They're crying.
Yeah, they're like it is a scene. Like, he does have a group, and they get after it. Like,
oh,
they're
insane.
Credit to them. They're pot committed, right? They're not fair weather. And the Bills will be good again this year. Detroit, the Lions are going to be good. I'll believe it when I see it that they actually compete the way people are expecting them to. They're going to be a big play for a lot of people to bet the over win total. I haven't seen what it is. I'm guessing it'll be 9.5, give or take. And, you know, I've seen it for too long with the Lions. Like, I am completely objective on the outside looking in. And, the Leafs are a similar type of situation where every year it's like, oh, they're going to win the Cup and this is it, and then they don't. And people are like, I knew that wasn't going to happen. And it's the same thing with the Lions. Until they actually break through and prove it, I just have a hard time believing. But that's fine. You jump on board with Detroit. Maybe Noodles, you're, I don't know, you want to be a Bears fan. Maybe you and Kirk Cousins can be a Vikings fan. Battle in the NFC North. All good.
Has Belichick got any chance? The Patriots
I don't think
the Patriots have no chance.
I don't think so. No. But, you see, he got They got clipped like two OTA days because they were breaking the rules.
What the hell were they doing now? I saw that. And as if the players actually care.
Right. They don't care. They're like, see you later. I don't have to hang around Belichick.
Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, not allowed to practice. I'm sure the guys were really disappointed.
Yeah, but that's just them. They just tread in the
gray. But what were they doing?
I don't know what the infection was. I think they had the players doing stuff at times they weren't supposed to. Like it was a PA violation. And, like, they're OTAs. They're not mandatory.
Yeah, I know, but you know Belichick said, hey, why don't you come in a little bit earlier than usual? Yeah. I want to see you do some bench.
Right. Of course.
That's him.
Probably something like that. And then a player probably leaked it. Belichick will find out who he is. That guy's cut.
That's right.
He's gone. Yeah, that guy's not going to survive.
Can I go with the Jets then? Should I go with Aaron Rodgers?
That's a heel turn. Following Aaron Rodgers to New York, that's exactly the play.
But it's kind of gutless, though, because I'm not – like, I've been a fan of Rodgers from afar kind of through you. Mm-hmm. So I really don't – I've been a Belichick guy kind of from day one because I like how he kind of operates, him and Pop, you know, old-school gritty guys, right? So
crusty.
Yeah, crusty, but I think behind – the crustiness, they're like good guys. You know, I think they're affable. They just hate, you know, having to talk about things. They're just miserable.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe
exactly.
I'll go with the Bills, but I don't know.
Go on the Bills. There's too many Bills fans, you know, already associated with the station, the company. We got a guy on the line right now. He's a diehard, a season ticket holder. He's there all the time. You can't have another Bills fan. I think you go Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets. And see if that can possibly drive them home. All right, Noodles, there you go.
Yeah.
You're anointed a New York Jets fan as of today. All right, here's our Raptors analyst, one of our favorites, back on the show. Here's Jack Armstrong. How you doing, Jack?
Guys, I'm great. I'm just one of your favorites, not like your favorite. I'm just one of, I guess.
Well, there's very few that fit that list. So one of like three or four. And I don't know if that...
Let's be honest. Jack's the only person we like that we have.
That's true.
Yes. We love him.
That's true. You're our number one guy, Jack.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Noodles, I would say go with the Arizona Cardinals because then you start on the bottom. There's only one way for them to go, and that's up because they're a disaster right now. So that would be one of the teams I would go with. And by the way, if you're going to go with anyone else, I love the Detroit Lions uniforms. What is it, Hawaiian blue and silver?
Yeah.
They got the coolest uniforms. Them or the 49ers, I love their uniforms.
Yeah, sharp look.
That's funny you say that, Jack, because I'm on board with those Lions this year. Go Lions! Me and Jim Taddy and David Alter.
Wow. I was also thinking maybe go with, what if I went with the top, Mahomes and Reed?
Yeah, like that's you can't go wrong. But you can't jump on that. You can't jump on a dynasty. I mean, come on. Not
that
possible.
Ain't right.
No, that's not right. That's like a 91 saying. I like these Bulls, man. They're good. Yeah. I'm going to jump on their bandwagon for a bit. Who's this Jordan guy? I like him.
Yeah.
So, Jack, what's going on with the Raptors? I mean, everyone else is getting hired. Everyone else, Monty Williams, man. Woo, he making money. What is your understanding of what's taking so long? And what the process is all about here with the Raptors trying to find a coach?
Well, my agent and I were playing a hard bargain right now. You know, I mean, Monty got the big deal. I want $80 million. If I get $80 million, I'm in.
Okay. That's reasonable. I like that pitch. I'd give it to you.
And by the way, then after I'm offered it, like a few weeks in, I'm just going to do something to get myself fired, and I'll be on a beach collecting the rest of my life. So until then, I don't think that offer's coming. I just think, honestly, all kidding aside, I think that they're just doing their due diligence, and you know, a lot of it comes down to fit and what they want their roster to look like you know, as you go along. And I don't think they're big game hunting and saying, hey, we got to get a big name. And I think Detroit feels like with Monty, based upon their young roster, that they want to make a commitment to someone who's a proven head coach and bring their young team along. And I think Monty was a great choice. I also think Nick Nurse was an excellent choice in Philadelphia. And I'm thrilled for Adrian Griffin, Raptor lead assistant, that got the Bucks job. And with two jobs remaining now, Phoenix and Toronto, I think both teams have different agendas. And I think for the Raptors right now, A lot of it's just going to come down to, I think deep down, they kind of have a sense of what they want to do draft night and what they want to do on July 1st with free agency and maybe trades. And I think they want that coach to maybe reflect the vision and the mission statement of what they want their team to be based upon what that roster is going to look like.
Jack, we've been talking a lot about rosters, mostly for the Toronto Maple Leafs and what's going to come back, and basically the idea of how could you expect something different if it's just basically the main characters are all the same. So as far as the Raptors are concerned, you just mentioned there's not, you don't think there's like big game hunting and big name hunting. So if that's the case, what would we be expecting next year?
I think based upon what I saw the last, you know, what I've seen my whole career and what I know of Masai Ujiri, I think he's going to want someone, number one, who is going to be able to really connect with the guys and develop them, particularly, you know, a second unit. I think someone that is going to get this team to play with great enthusiasm and energy and togetherness. And maybe I'm being broad. And maybe I just think there's a feeling that I think Nick Nurse is one of the best coaches in the league. Nonetheless, I think there's just a vibe, a feeling, a connection that they want from their coach with their group, whoever that group is going to be, and a group that's going to be really hard playing, tough, gritty, and reflects of what, you know, Masai and Bobby and the staff want. So I think the candidates that they have, they've cast a wide net, and there's a lot of really good candidates that they've interviewed. So I'm actually really comfortable with where they're at in terms of experience. And, again, I don't think they're in a position where, you know, if you're Philadelphia, you go get Nick Nurse, you're like, well, this guy has a championship ring on his finger. Monty Williams has been to the NBA Finals. So you're Detroit, you're saying, well, this guy kind of fits what I want. I think Toronto could be a little bit more patient and say, you know, if it were a Steve Nash, and even though things didn't go great in Brooklyn, I think he'd fit nicely in terms of where the organization's at, in terms of learning curve, and then also some of the assistant coaches that have been mentioned as candidates, you know, that, you know, both can kind of grow together. So I'm not kind of fixed on any one candidate. I just know that some of the names that they brought in, I'm like, hey, that's a good basketball guy. That's a good basketball guy. Yeah, they're a good candidate. So I got no skin in the game. And whoever they choose, I think, based upon what they want this roster to look like, I think they'll be very comfortable with it.
If Monty Williams wanted to come here, yet it was going to cost $80 million, do you think Masai could get that kind of money? Do you think MLSC would offer that up if Masai believed Williams is the guy?
Well, would they pay Babcock, right? They paid him a lot of
money. It wasn't $12 a year, but it was a lot of money.
But I get it. But the budgets in hockey are different than the budgets in basketball, because hockey is a gate-driven league and basketball is a TV revenue league, also complemented by gate revenue. So you're able to pay guys a lot more, and the salary structure is a lot different. So I feel pretty confident if Masai went to the board and said, hey, I want to get a big-name guy, and I'm going to pay him this. And I think he'd get a blessing. And plus, as you guys know, in professional sports, I'm not a fan of it, by the way, but offset contracts, meaning you fire Nick Nurse or you fire Doc Rivers or Mike Budenholzer or Monty Williams, and, you know, those teams know that someone else is going to pick them up, and they're not going to be on the hook. You know, like Monty Williams is on the hook. Phoenix is on the hook for 3 years at like $20 million. Budenholzer, Milwaukee's on the hook for like $16, $17 million. So if you're Budenholzer, you want to sit on a beach for 2 years, you can. But they're saying, he's going to come back eventually. We're not going to have to pay that whole freight. So you know, a lot of times when that happens, if you wanted to go get a Doc Rivers, even Detroit get Monty Williams, Detroit's not paying that whole freight, and nor is Phoenix. You know, Phoenix will have some money that they save on the deal, and they'll be able to go get their guys. So, in my opinion, as a former coach, I'm not a fan of offsets. If an organization decides to let a guy go, well, guess what? You don't want him there anymore. You should be on the hook for the entire salary. And if a guy now wants to go as an independent contractor, work for somebody else, then guess what? He double dips. But that's not happening these days.
Right, exactly. With Jack Armstrong, Game 1 NBA Finals tonight, Denver-Miami. Denver's a big favorite going into the game. What do you have your eye on tonight, Jack? How do you see it playing out? And one way or the other, why would Denver win tonight, Miami win tonight, and where are you at with this final?
Let's start with Miami. Miami, what, they went three games on the road in Boston? Mm-hmm. That's incredible. They won in every series against the Knicks and the Bucks. They won road games. Denver hasn't lost a home game in the playoffs, and not only this year, but every year that they've been good, they're one of the best teams in terms of home court, and because of the altitude and the great fans that they have. But I'm a big believer in the fact that Miami can go in there, not going to be intimidated. They just played a game on Monday. They're fresh, and I think they're sharper right now. I think it's a challenge for Denver, having been off for so long, and all that pressure of a big, you know, everyone's expecting them to win in four or five games right out of the bat. This is an ideal game, just kind of like Game 1 in Boston for Miami, Game 1 in New York for Miami, mm-hmm. where they just come in and they sneak in and they play their game and hang around and steal one. But I think this series is going to go. I like Denver in the series, but I think the series is going to go longer than anyone thinks. And, you know, Miami just plays their game. They're so steady. They're so consistent. They're so disciplined, so well coached. And on the other side, Denver, they got Jokic. And not only do they have Jokic, but they got Murray. They got an incredible two-man game, a dramatically better two-man game option than Miami has, with all due respect to Butler and Bam. And I just personally think that Mike Malone won't be outflanked and outmaneuvered, maybe like some of the other coaches in the series prior. Eric Spoelstra is a great coach, but Mike Malone is too. So I think the coaching matchup will cancel each other out, and I think Jokic is just a different guy than anything that they've dealt with in the first three rounds of the playoffs. I think they'll deal with it. They do a great job in their zones. They're switching coverages, taking away driving lanes, making you shoot contested threes. But I like Denver in this series. But it's not a slam dunk like people think.
Jack, do you think Spoelstra gets enough flowers for what he's done, his body of work in his career? He's kind of, I don't know, is he the next Pop as far as a guy that's just going to be there a long time? And I have a true appreciation with the way people get fired in pro sports, how it's just with Pat Riley, and he's like, that's the coach, and he's going to continue to be the coach, so you guys need to figure it out because he's not leaving.
You nailed it. Before you even just brought up the last two sentences that you used, that's what it's all about. It's having a guy like Pat Riley, and I'll never forget this. I had the opportunity as a young coach, Frank Layden, who his number is retired in Salt Lake City. He was the president, GM, head coach of the Utah Jazz. His son Scott then succeeded him, and then Scott was with Minnesota, New York, and all that. Scott's with Sacramento now, but Jerry Sloan was Frank's assistant. Jerry had gotten fired as the coach of the Chicago Bulls, and Jerry worked for Frank. And then Frank abruptly said, I'm done. I'm just going to stay as an executive. And Jerry Sloan said to me one time, and I had the good fortune as a young coach at Niagara to go out and spend a week at Utah Jazz training camp when they had Karl Malone, John Stockton. And Jerry was in his first or second year, if I'm not mistaken, as the head coach of the Jazz. But years later, you know, now that I was with the Raptors, I saw Jerry. I would talk to Jerry all the time, and he said to me, he goes, Shaq, understand something. There's a reason why I win in Utah. He goes, because Frank Layden and Jerry and Scott Layden have walked through the tunnel. They know what it's like to walk through the tunnel. And if you're Eric Spoelstra, and if you asked Eric, and I have, he says, Coach Riley has walked through the tunnels. He's got my back. And it's the same thing. You know, you might, you look at Greg Popovich, as crazy as this sounds, R.C. Buford, who's been the president, and Pop kind of runs things, but nonetheless, R.C. Buford has been an assistant coach in the NBA. He's walked through the tunnel. And in my opinion, that means a lot to have someone who understands how difficult, how challenging it is to be a coach in the modern era of big money and guys turning on you in a heartbeat, backdooring you to owners and agents trying to run things, and having a guy that says, agent, no, you're not backdooring my coach. And Mickey Harrison knows that, and Mickey has their back because Pat Riley has Eric's back. And as we all know, LeBron James tried getting Eric fired. It didn't work. It all worked out. They got the four finals. They won two championships. And guess what? Eric's still there, and Eric's now developed into one of the great coaches to ever coach in the league because Pat Riley gets it, just like a guy like you know, Greg Popovich and people in San Antonio get it. And just like if Jerry Sloan could talk to you today, he would tell you the same thing.
Always great catching up with you, Jack. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll do it again soon. And enjoy the finals.
Guys, have a great night. Noodles, go Bills!
There
exactly.
You go. Go Bills.
Bills.
You got it. Maybe he can't be a Bills fan. Who knows?
I don't know.
All right. I think you stick with the Jets. Nothing wrong with that. There's Jack Armstrong. All right, so as we know, Oakdale Golf and Country Club hosting the RBC Canadian Open, June 6th through the 11th, right here in the heart of Toronto. Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets to be there for any one round. All right? Here's your question. The Memorial's going on. Everyone's through their round. There is a solo leader in the clubhouse. Who is that? The first one in to announce to the grappler who is solo lead after day one
Can
down at Jack's
it?
Place. Is getting the tickets. All right,
can I name
him? Go ahead. It's probably, yeah, go ahead.
I think it's Davis Riley.
Davis Riley is the answer. So there you go. We're giving you the answer. Go. Davis Riley. Hopefully you're already calling in. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. You're going to catch the best golfers in the world as they battle it out here at Canada's Lone PGA Tour Stop. Also back this year is the RBC Music Concert Series featuring Grammy Award winners Black Eyed Peas and Alanis Morissette. First up, Overdrive. We're going to be there all week.
Come hang out with us for half an hour.
Yeah, we're going to be there, right? We're going to be there. We can't wait for it. All right, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, today's best bets are powered by FanDuel. Make your picks and assemble a same-game parlay in seconds on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take Miami plus 9 on FanDuel.
No.
Take the points. Yeah, no. I'm banking on a close game, possibly an outright. You like Denver big?
Sure. Oh my God, I've had problems. Okay, last week I had a real doozy on my hands.
Oh yeah,
Jamie Benn, the Celts, they jammed me up. But tonight is Nugget time.
Yeah, okay, we'll see,
yeah.
We'll see. I don't think so. Not the way Spoelstra operates. Not the way Jimmy Butler operates.
Dude,
on the
do you
road.
Understand how difficult it is emotionally to get out of Boston and then rev it back up for Denver? Mm-hmm. Travel, elevation.
I got
blowout Nuggets.
Denver's been sitting around a long time, rusty tonight. And here's a long shot little prop. Little sprinkle on Caleb Martin, he's been outstanding for Miami throughout the playoffs, was great in Game 7. First player to 10 points, paying plus 1,000. Getting big odds on that tonight.
Wow.
Kind of like that little sprinkle on Caleb Martin. starting the game hot tonight. Today's Best Bets powered by FanDuel. Bet your favorite NBA superstars from first basket scorer to top point scorer on FanDuel this postseason. Please play responsibly. Must be 19 plus and physically located in Ontario. Good stuff today. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes. We appreciate it, everyone, for tuning in today. Radio, TV, podcast, and web. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
Hazy K, my man, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Introducing TSN Plus.
What a game changer.
Canada's new home for PGA Tour Live.
Are you kidding me?
Exclusive data-enhanced feeds, plus more goals, dunks, aces, and speed. Visit tsn.ca/TSN Plus to learn more.